Pastor Chris Gordon begins today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio with a conundrum that Abraham finds himself in the middle of.
The question that he's wrestling with is, how can God be true to his promise if I sacrifice Isaac? No comments. You don't get it here in the narrative. All you get is this immediate submission and obedience. It's really beautiful in light of everything that we've studied about Abraham. Look at the obedience. Look at the sanctification that's happened in this man.
It really is remarkable how pressure changes a man. And as we're seeing here in the book of Genesis, pressure is changing Abraham for the better. Welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're in Genesis chapter 22, the first 24 verses. The Lord will provide. This is a message that was delivered on a Sunday when the Lord's table was administered. So it really is quite special. Here's Pastor Chris.
Well, we are working through the book of Genesis, and in God's providence, we land today, and this is one of the really exciting things about ministry. When you work through books, you land on certain things at certain times, and I'm never bright enough to put all this together, I assure you. But we have the Lord's Supper with Genesis chapter 22. It doesn't get any better than that. So we're going to read together Genesis chapter 22, and I will just read the first 19 verses this morning. The Lord, beginning at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. One of the things that we don't realize about the Christian life is that it is a testing ground. It is a testing ground. I have, as a pastor, seen many people tested with various things, and there are some people, and you know this, there are some people in life who are constantly being tested, and it just seems like it's one affliction after another, one hardship after another. And you look at them and you think, boy, so many hardships, so many trials, so many afflictions. And then there are those who seem to have a relatively smooth life. And they seem kind of trouble-free. No matter what kind of category we may place ourselves in, all of us as believers at some point are going to be tested with something big. I can assure you of that. You're going to be hit with something big. And when when this comes, whenever it might be, it will affect how you go forward. It's going to have some kind of effect on you. I have seen people disillusioned when this happens. And like the parable of the sower, they walk away. They walk away questioning the goodness of the Lord. I've seen walk away saying there is no God. And that's what's happened. There are others, of course, who have been tested and afflicted. And I have seen in the greatest moment of their affliction, strength, boldness, confidence, an understanding. And if you ask them where that comes from, they're going to say, it's not me. It's the Lord upholding. Incredible moments as I've looked into the lives of the people that I've shepherded. I raised this morning because we're coming to the table, and what we are doing this morning is we are proclaiming the Lord's death. We're coming together and we're proclaiming the Lord's death, that in an act of love, God gave of his son, gave of his best to demonstrate how great his love is for you and to put on display his gospel, and so that we all would marvel at the goodness of God. Look at this display that's put on and before us this morning, announcing to you, sons, forgiven are your sins. You're proclaiming this. At some point, even though you've proclaimed this throughout the whole course of your lives, you're going to be tested as to whether God is really that good. Because the circumstance in front of you seems to tell an entirely different story. And today, that's what we come to with Father Abraham. Abraham faces a test in his life. This is a test like no other test this man has ever had to undergo. And this passage is a wonderful encouragement for us today, because as the Lord is inviting us to the table, as he's spreading a feast before us, he wants you to see that no matter how you're tried and tested, all the way through, he is good. The intention is good. And when you can see the whole picture, as Abraham finally saw it, you will taste and see today that the Lord is that good. This is the whole story of the Christian life, but we need to look into for a moment how Abraham responded to this test, a test unlike any other. I want everyone to look at verse 1 this morning. If your Bibles are open, walk through this with me, and I want you to see what Moses, who is writing, is doing here. It's very helpful and exciting to see. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, maybe we've read this so much that we don't even stop and reflect upon this the way that we should. The first thing you should say when you read that is, do what? We have the advantage of reading here up front that this is a test, but hey, Abraham didn't get the memo. I want you to offer up your son, your only son, whom you love, as a burnt offering. I want you to sacrifice him. We're really overwhelmed at what the Lord is asking this man to do. It really does. At this point, it makes no sense. This makes absolutely no sense. And I want us to consider this for a moment. This man, yes, he has failed over and over. We studied that in the life of Abraham. But hey, you know, he left all to follow. He left father and mother. He left his land. He has been a traveler. He's been a pilgrim. He's had no place really to lay his head. And he immediately enters the land, and all he's experienced are things like famine. And this guy really, really has been put through it. And I know I've gone after Abraham. I've gone after him for lying about his wife and trying to do things his way. But you know, would I do any different? I have fears. You have fears. He was scared. He's traveling in this world of armies and enemies and kings, and he's moving around in a tent. Now, he's already made remarkable progress. In the last chapter was pivotal in the study of Abraham and where this man had come. In his willingness to send off his son, he sent off, really, his firstborn son of his own making, yes, the son of his own flesh, but he did it. God said, send him away. Which one of you have ever cast out a son, never to see him again? And Genesis tells you this really, really disturbed him when God didn't put the promise through him. It was really displeasing. He was distressed. And God then in chapter 21, we have all this blessing come in chapter 21. We're really getting a taste of fulfillment in chapter 21. Look what happened in 21. The promises back in chapter 12, 21 is demonstrating are starting to come to pass. The son has come, a king has come and bowed, and he gets a deposit on the land, a well. This is a remarkable chapter of real fulfillment, beginning to taste it. He gets some rest in the land for a long time. It's at this point, all this progress, that God comes to him and gives him something unbearable. The test was on the closest level, the most intimate level. This is your son. It touches the closest relationship here. You know this with your children. I want you to take your son, your only son. Notice how God digs this in. I want you to take your son, your only son, it's the only one left, whom you love, and I want you to inflict upon him death. It's really a dagger into this man's heart. I mean, it is, as Calvin says, he's finally experiencing and enjoying peace. In the last chapter, he's had some rest, and as he's enjoying this is Calvin, and I quote, God thunders out of heaven, denouncing the sentence of death on his son. Talk about killing your hope. I want you to take that which is most precious to you in this life, the most precious to you. And I want you to violently slaughter him. By your own hand, I want you to put him through that awful, painful death. And I want you to see it, and I want you to experience it. You execute him. God has just leveled upon this man a crisis of faith, a total crisis. You know how many people have said, I don't understand why God would do this, you know. It shows nothing of goodness here. How many times have you heard or even been through anger, maybe, and struggled with what the Lord is doing and why he's doing it and why he's putting us through this and why this particular chain of events and why this twist of providence and why is it happening? This was Job's complaint. This was Job's big complaint. Job said, what is man that you make so much of him and that you, the Holy One, you set your heart on him. You visit him. You test him every moment. And how long will you not look away from me, says Job, so that I can at least swallow my own spit? And God tests many of you. And sometimes these tests seem to undermine this. It seems to undermine goodness. I mean, he's told you he's going to protect you through life, and yet you've been hurt. He's told you not to worry about anything, and you say, I love the verse, but is that reality? You've been told to be comforted in the death of a loved one, and you have no idea why they were taken. And now you have to face the grief of it, and you just can't get over that kind of separation. You don't get over that kind of stuff. You just don't get over it. My last funeral that I did up north was a 27-year-old man, and I've told you about him before, but he had three children and a young wife, And I'm sitting with him in the hospital, and he says, you know, I don't understand why the Lord doesn't just heal me. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave my children. How are they going to even make it without me? This was his great concern. And I said, the Lord will provide, of course. That's the pastoral answer. The Lord will provide. But it didn't seem so helpful at the moment, did it? It's hard when I don't see it. It's hard when I don't understand it. And I don't think when life, you know, we think when life is going well, we don't really realize how much this kind of struggle is going on in the hearts and lives of God's people. I just sat with Dick and Gertie, and here's this couple that is, you know, in their 90s, and their love for one another is everything that you want, you know, in a marriage. It's just beautiful. And they're going through absolute anguish right now, being separated from each other. And she says to me, she says, you know, I could deal with cancer, but I'm really having a hard time dealing with this. I don't understand it. And Dick said the same thing. And you think, well, I didn't know. I didn't know that my brothers and sisters, you know, 90 would say something like that. Just being separated. Painful separation. Abraham, this son that you've been waiting for 25 years, slay him. You feel this? What kind of request is that? I mean, this is radical. You know, Abraham doesn't know it's a test. I got to remind myself that. How could God say this? You know, if I haven't built this up enough right now to raise some kind of anger, some kind of irritation, I haven't done my job. What is the Lord doing to this man? And then you see, you know, throughout the history of interpretation, what unbelievers have done with this when they read it. Oh, unbelievers love texts like this. Boy, they look at texts like this and say, this is the kind of God you guys claim. Bloodthirsty. Was it Kierkegaard who said, God is completely illogical. God is completely absurd here. How absurd to ask Abraham to negate the reality that had reversed his years of disappointed hope. Cruel. I think the Lord wanted everyone to feel this. He did this on purpose. Have you figured out the test yet? How is Abraham to believe the promise that the seed is this promised son is going to come through Isaac, and your seed, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. All the nations are going to be blessed through him. How in the world, I mean, this is the gospel. How is that possible if I kill him? I want you to kill the gospel, Abraham. I want you to put out that light. Put an end to everything that I promised you. And you see the struggle that's going on. Abraham's torn between two things. He's torn with the divine promise, and now he's torn with a command that is directly at odds with the promise, which would nullify the promise if he does it. If the Lord is to fulfill what he said, humanly speaking, now you've got a real contradiction. You've got the problem of death. These promises can't be fulfilled if Isaac is dead, and yet the Lord is commanding death. Therefore, that would mean if Isaac goes into the grave, God's a liar. It's one option. God himself and his commitments now. We often look at Abraham's test here, but you know, God just really put himself to the test. Everyone should be on the kind of edge of their seat. Abraham has two choices, you know. You could, if this happens, say, who is this God? I'm done. I'm walking away from him. I don't see any goodness in him. Look at my life unraveling, and many do that. They face tests, and what is the first thing that comes out of their mouth? Where is God in this? Where is God's goodness in this? There's no God. The narrative builds. Abraham begins to think about this. I'm sure he didn't rest that night. The question that he's wrestling with is, how can God be true to his promise if I sacrifice Isaac? No comments. You don't get it here in the narrative. All you get is this immediate submission and obedience. It's really beautiful in light of everything that we've studied about Abraham. Look at the obedience. Look at the the sanctification that's happened in this man. Verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Wow. He's up splitting wood early. Imagine splitting the wood for the sacrifice of your son. I want everyone to notice what he says. As soon as he gets to Mount Moriah, he looks at his servants and you hear what he said. You stay here. I and the boy are going over here to worship, but we're coming back. Now, that's not wishful thinking. That's not wishful thinking at all. We'll be back. We together, this grand test of refining has just done something. This test has drawn him away from attacking the Lord and doing things his way. And it now has moved him to trust the promise. Even when the circumstance is completely contrary, it seems, to the promise. Abraham says, no. Right? We will be back. Because God said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And Abraham here, he had fought against this for 25 years, doing it his own way. And isn't this beautiful? You finally come. I mean, this is why we call him the father of the faith. You really do see now Abraham in a place of complete resting.
You know, sometimes it does take those pressure points that only God can provide to bring us to a point of completely resting and trusting in God. Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. Well, let's close out the broadcast as we return once again to Pastor Chris, looking forward to tomorrow's broadcast.
I want everyone to notice what he says. As soon as he gets to Mount Moriah, he looks at his servants and you hear what he said. You stay here. I and the boy are going over here to worship, but we're coming back. Now, that's not wishful thinking. That's not wishful thinking at all. We'll be back. We together. This grand test of refining has just done something. This test has drawn him away from attacking the Lord and doing things his way. And it now has moved him to trust the promise. Even when the circumstance is completely contrary, it seems, to the promise. Abraham says, no, right? We will be back. Because God said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And Abraham here, He had fought against this for 25 years, doing it his own way. And isn't this beautiful? You finally come. I mean, this is why we call him the father of the faith. You really do see now Abraham in a place of complete resting.
That's tomorrow. Join us then for Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.